90s kids. Gotta love that. No words, Matt. But I got 5 on it. Do you?
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. But I got 5 on it. I'm going to give you 5. How about giving the Bears? I got 5 on it. They got to win Friday night.
I might put 10.
They got to win last week.
But that'd be illegal.
We don't gamble here. I'm just giving 5. Two fives equals 10. High five. High fives.
Okay, that's what you meant.
They got a victory, and there was their 5 on it. This is the Talking Bear Football Podcast. I'm Jason Miller. He's Matt Chinnender. Chinnander?
Chinnander.
Yes. It just flows off the tongue right there.
It does. I mean, it's pronounced exactly how it's spelled.
Exactly. So. It's phonetic.
Yeah.
Or what's that called? Onomatopoeia?
I have no idea.
Onomatopoeia, I think, is a word that actually sounds exactly how it's spelled.
I don't know.
Something like that. That's a fun word to say, though.
Of course, regardless.
Speaking of fun, 42-7, the final score. For those listening to the podcast at home, I want to apologize straight ahead, straight up front, for me missing that score prediction by 1 point on both sides of it. I was 41-6. I apologize for that. That's not close enough. It's not good enough. I need to work on that.
I was a touchdown on both sides.
Well, you know what?
Take the one that I gave Lisbon and give it to West Branch. And
I think we're there.
Would have been good.
That would be 42-7. So yeah. You were on the right track. You crossed your T when you should have dotted your I.
Or vice versa.
Something like that. Yeah. You know.
I prefer crossing the T's.
Did you put the E before the I instead of it?
No.
Anyway.
Because it wasn't after a C.
You're right. But it was after a V. Or a W.
Victory.
A victory. 42-7, the final, Matt. Your first thoughts of last Friday night. And, by the way, Saturday morning's victory.
Right.
Because it's Groundhog Day.
We didn't win Friday night. We won Saturday morning. Well, Saturday afternoon.
Texas Saturday night. Morning lights.
Yeah. Wet. I know you weren't.
I was dry. I was very, very dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very wet out there on the field. But at least it wasn't blazing hot. I think I'd take the little bit of rain. Not that we only had a little bit, but I'd take the little bit of rain over the hot any day.
Well, you know, I kind of would too. But if you're checking your forecast at home, and I know you are, because, you know, last week we were so on the money with the forecasts, because if you look a week in advance or 5 days in advance, it's probably going to be wrong. Because last Sunday, I think it was supposed to be cloudy or maybe sunny and like 80 degrees. And then all of a sudden, bam, you say 60% chance of rain. You know what? They were wrong. It was 100% rain at about 8:30, and it was hard. And then there was lightning, and then there was, you know, confusion. And only the second time in the Butch Peterson era have the West Branch Bears played one game in 2 days. That just doesn't happen very often. Columbus Junction game, I believe, in 2000 was the last time. It was around the year 2000. Coach Jared Tiley was on that team. Speaking of Coach Tiley, I think we're going to be able to chat with him via the power of the internet. And guess what? That's happening right now. So Coach Tiley joins us here now on the podcast. Jared Tiley, offensive coordinator, assistant head coach. First of all, congratulations on a 2-day, 1-win victory over the weekend, Coach Tiley.
Thank you. It was one of those games. I told Coach Peterson that I was just glad it was over when it was, with all the different circumstances going along with it, as far as Drew getting hurt and then the weather and just everything that was going along with it. Once that final horn hit and Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, I was just glad that it was over and we were able to walk away with the win.
I guess before we dive into the details of that, hard luck, Drew Finnegan, senior captain, just on a routine tackle, goes behind line of scrimmage, gets a 4-yard tackle for loss and just rolling over and his foot gets caught. Sometimes in football, those things happen. It's sad for him, but I tell you what, I mean, we'd see him yesterday on the sidelines in the second half of the game, and that kid's already moving forward, ready to tackle this in life, and then move forward and hopefully get back in time to take on his next you know, whatever endeavor he's able to do physically before he graduates high school.
Yeah, and for me personally, I mean, having coached him now for 3 years or whatever it's been, it's tough, and it's, you know, I got emotional with the team in our meeting yesterday before our game, just because a kid that loves the sport of football as much as he does, that you hate to see it just taken away from him like that. You know, and when you're around kids as much as we are as coaches, you get emotionally attached to them, and it's tough to see a kid lose what he loves, but Drew's going to help us in other ways. You know, I told him yesterday after the game, he's going to have to become a coach and help with our offensive line, and he's going to have to help our defense, you know, with everything. He was definitely our leader on defense. He was our team leader, if you ask me. And yeah, and it's tough to lose him, but we got to move forward, and he's going to be right there with us, helping us move forward.
And I know, speaking with him after the game, he's very excited. He was very pleased with the performance of the team yesterday. It was 20-7 when the game was paused with 8 minutes and 51 seconds remaining in the third quarter because of numerous lightning delays. And yesterday, what a difference literally almost half a day makes. Just some wonderful adjustments by yourself and the rest of the coaching staff really neutralized a Lisbon offense that was sort of moving the ball a little bit. Yesterday, it was a whole different story in that second half when it resumed.
Yeah, I especially thought our defense was outstanding yesterday, and gave our offense great field position all day, and even our special teams. You know, we made some big hits on special teams, but it was I don't know what it was. Somebody asked me yesterday, you know, what was the difference, and I said, I don't know. It just felt like I got to give credit to our kids, because obviously on a Friday night, the energy and the intensity is more there on a Friday night. The crowd can give it to you, and it gets the kids going. Yesterday morning, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of a dull. There wasn't just that energy in the air, and I thought our kids did an awesome job of creating their own energy and intensity. And I mean, for lack of a better word, our kids dominated the rest of that game that was played yesterday. So,
yeah, team gave up 157 total yards. Only 36 of those were yesterday. So it was a wonderful team effort. And then offensively, the team had 364 total yards, basically an even 171 yards passing and 193 yards rushing. So it was a pretty 50-50 game from a passing rushing standpoint for an offensive coach to see that. I'm sure you're kind of happy.
I was, and hopefully that's how it is all year long, because we have too many weapons on our offense to not have it be that way. You know, Luke's an outstanding running back and carried the load for us a ton last year, but it'd be nice to lighten him a little bit, and we have guys like Aaron Barnes and Devin Kinden and Matt Shaver and Cooper Kavla and Hunter Wargrove and Garrett Tucker, you know, on the outside, that can do other things for us and help us in our passing game. And I thought Cooper Koenig was outstanding for his first game here. He just had the one interception, but when you go, I think he was something about 16 for 21 or something, and one of those was a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. And I just thought he was way above average for us, and hopefully he just continues to get better.
We had five total touchdowns, two in the air, three on the ground. Lenock had 138 yards rushing, coach. So I think, one of the questions you had going into this year was the line. The offensive line had to replace three kids, and the defensive line also had to replace some starters. I mean, what's your position on after the first game? You got to be pretty pleased with how the offensive line gave protection for Cooper to throw the ball in open holes, for Lenock and company to rush for about 100 and almost 200 yards.
Yeah, and I was finally able to watch the film first thing this morning and go through it. And I thought our offensive line was above average, but, you know, being the offensive coordinator, I'm going to nitpick at everything. So there's plenty of room for improvement, and we need to continue to improve if we're going to get to a point to where we want to get to. And we've got some guys who need to get better, but you could say that for everybody on our football team. But overall, you know, for game one, I was pleased, and it was the first varsity experience for a lot of those kids out there. And and I thought they handled it well and just need to continue to improve as weeks go on.
And you always improve the most between games one and two, and next week is a familiar foe to this team for years and years and years. You saw them when you played as a Bear 4 years in a row, West Liberty. And yesterday they finished their game and second day as well, played against Tipton, losing 27-0. It's a team that they're looking for sort of an identity as well, but putting all that aside, it's one of those games that when you look at statistics and you look at win-loss records, you can usually throw those away. It's kind of one of those Hatfield-McCoy kind of a thing.
Yeah, and it's West Branch, West Liberty, and that's really all you need to say. I mean,
yeah.
It's been a rival for a long, long time, and we have one of their formers at our quarterback now, and so it's going to be high emotions, I'm sure, Friday night for everybody involved. And the important thing is we go out there and play with composure and execute our game plan. And I think if we do that, you know, hopefully good things will happen and just play the game of football. So kind of once we step on the field, forget the extra stuff that comes along with it all and just play and play our football game and see how it goes.
You've probably had the opportunity to see a little bit of the Comets on film. What can people expect from them? What kind of team are they going to be?
You know, from our standpoint, as far as our offense goes, they're athletic. You know, they're not overly big, but they look extremely athletic. They play fast on defense, and they're going to bring a lot of people to try to disrupt stuff. And we need to be able to, you know, counter that and be able to pick things up and play with our eyes up. And that's actually something that we had to start working on, you know, this past week. So, and continue to get better at, but you know, they're going to present a challenge for us and they'll be physical and we need to be able to match that physicality and execute what we want to do.
Well, 1-0 the first week, hopefully 1-0 next week, Coach Tiley. That's going to be kind of a mantra. I hope every team kind of looks at that, but that's sort of the mantra we have here. You got to go 1-0 each week, and this game is the only one that matters right now. And congratulations on the Friday-Saturday two-game homestand, and hopefully next week the weather's good, and then we can take care of business on Friday night. Best wishes on a good week of practice.
All right, thank you, and thanks for what you guys do.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep.
That was Coach Tiley, Coach Jared Tiley. Matt, you can tell he's excited about the victory and pleased, but much like any coach, there's a lot of room yet to grow, and it's only the first game of the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody saw this too, but Friday night, you know, the team kind of came out a little flat, and it almost seemed like it was a good thing that the game got postponed and pushed into Saturday, because when the team came out on Saturday, it was just like they were an entirely different team, or somehow just overnight. Like you've referenced the game one to game two thing. It's almost like Friday night was game one, and the resuming of it Saturday was game two.
Yeah.
There's just a world of difference. Just it seemed like in terms of energy and focus and playmaking ability and just, I don't know, everything seemed a little different Saturday.
Maybe we can chalk a little bit of it to. I know it's a different thing on Saturday morning. The crowd's just not there. The lights were on, but there's light in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. Plus, you had that emotional touch with Drew Finnegan on the sidelines,
yeah.
Sort of being, you know, they're just going to rally around him. They're going to rally around him all season. Yeah. Coach Drew Finnegan. And certainly, Drew, we wish you a speedy recovery. Hope you get some great news this week. And when you start get this recovery going, you're 17 years old, you're going to recover a heck of a lot faster than us, the two old guys on this microphone. Well, speaking for me, an old guy on the microphone. So speedy recovery to you. I know you'll be up ready to slide down the hill in no time and watching Gone Fishing, I'm sure, 6 or 7 times while you're recovering, because that's just what you do at any rate. Doggone it. That's just, it's just a natural thing. It's a totally natural thing.
It's all right.
I know. So 42-7, the final. You know, from my perspective, Matt, the game, it was for lack of a better way of saying it, it was a first game. You're going to have your ups. You're going to have your miscues. You're going to have a lot of things that you see in practice sometimes don't translate to the field because it gets to the point where you're always practicing against the same guys. You're not used to playing against people you don't know that are planning differently.
Right. And I thought the interesting thing to note was last season, every game but one, we scored on the first drive. The one we didn't score on was against Dyke New Hartford.
At least this year when we didn't score on our first drive, we won.
Exactly. Game. Yeah. So this one we didn't score on the first drive either, or the second drive.
Yeah.
But Lisbon scored on their second drive, and we answered pretty quickly with the score of our own.
The scoreboard says they scored, but if you look at photo proof, it doesn't matter now. One thing that really matters from Friday night,
and
it was that whole W thing, that Cubs W flag over my shoulder that I'm looking at right now, that we need to get a Bears W flag, I think.
That'd be kind
of
cool.
I think it would be kind of cool. Put that out there in front of the press box at the historic little Rose Bowl and let it fly. Let it rip. So some statistics, 363 total yards of offense for the Bears, allowing just 157 yards, as you heard in our interview with Coach Ty Lee. Matt, we talked about those statistics, and key being on the second day, the Bears had given up about 120 yards on Friday yesterday in basically two quarters of football, or what, 9 plus 12, quick math, 21 minutes out of 48, just 36 yards yesterday.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. That's one completed pass yesterday on the as they finished the game.
Yeah, like I said, it was just kind of a totally different day from West Branch's offense and the defense as well. It was great to see them kind of, bounce back almost, or kind of find their game and find the way that they want to play. And hopefully that just continues on into next week against West Liberty. And I think you had brought this up to Jared, but you mentioned our 363 total yards, but it was pretty much split down the middle between the passing and rushing. And I think that's crucial. One, because Luke Lenock he's going to be playing defense quite a bit more this year too, so you got to give him a little bit of a blow on offense. And plus, if we've got a quarterback that can not only pass it but can run it extremely well too, that's going to help things immensely. Cooper's got a really good arm, and he's got a good receiving core. So it's great that we're able to spread the ball around quite a bit, much like we were able to last year too. So I think it's going to be very important going forward. And looking at our first downs too, they were a little bit more towards the rushing end, but still quite a few on the passing side as well. So it's just I liked it. I liked the way that the team performed, and I think it was really, really good for a first game to get off on the right foot. And it's just with all the kind of question marks we had. I think just from a quarterback standpoint, a line standpoint, whatever it may be, I think a lot of my questions, or I don't want to say worries, but doubts or uncertainties, not that they were in a negative way, have just kind of been resolved.
A little bit, yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Yep.
And before we jump the broom into the statistics of some of the weapons that Cooper Kanick had, and we get into one of my favorite things to say on this podcast in relation to this team. Showtime.
Barometer? Oh.
Barometer. Yeah. Oh, we'll get into that too.
But we'll get to Showtime.
We'll get to those. Okay. We will get to those. But when you talk about how, when we talked to Jared and you brought it back up about how a team is basically a split offense of rushing and passing the football, that's what they call keeping a defense honest.
Absolutely.
And if you don't, if you are just doing one thing, if you're a one-dimensional football team, defenses can plan on it. Well, then there are some one-dimensional football teams out there that are highly successful.
That have won state championships.
Yeah, Madrid, yeah. Fort Dodge, St. Edmund in Class 1A, both of those. Well, Madrid won three or four of them in Class A. Now they're 1A. In fact, they had a kid on their team. I know this is West Branch football, talking Bear football, had 386 yards rushing. Average 14 yards of carries a junior.
That's normal.
Kid's like a 10. He runs sub 11, 100. He's Michael Santa Claus, I call him. There's some fun stats out there. But speaking of which, Cooper Kanick, 171 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. He shared the wealth. The majority of those receptions, of those 16, just shy of half, seven of them, 9 targets went to Matthew Showtime Shaver. 98 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, 64 and 11, I believe, being the second one. And I think he's going to be a very, very favorite for that's just horrible. That's horrible grammar. He's going to be a favorite target of Koenig, I think, all year. But he also shared it with Hunter Wargo, senior captain, 3 catches, 27 yards. Lenock, 2 receptions, 14. Then 1 reception each for Aaron Bards, Cooper Cobble, Devin Kinden, and Garrett Tucker. And again, if you listen to Coach Ty Lee, said we have weapons. All those names I just mentioned, he mentioned them by name in the interview. He knows where the bread's buttered.
I mean, I really think that this offense, just with Cooper and you know, Lenock and Kinden running the ball, and then Barnes, Wargo, Shaver, Cobla, etc., and Tucker even receiving. And then you mix that in with Cooper's ability to take off. I think really you mentioned keeping defenses honest. Like I'm going to find it difficult to where a defense is not going to have to try and guess what's going to happen, because Cooper, you know, drops back to pass. He goes on a waggle, whatever. If he's got a guy open, he's going to throw it. And any of the guys he throws it to is probably going to catch it, most likely. And if there's no one open, he can take off and run. So I think it's going to be difficult for defenses to kind of defend our passing game. Yeah. Just from what I've seen from game one and practice and stuff, I'm very optimistic about our passing game. And then Luke Lenock in the backfield. I mean, Devin Kinden leading the way. I mean, we're talking
about the skills guys. Tough.
Yeah.
For them to do well.
Right, in the line.
Then we go back to the line. And that's still a question mark, and it's still going to be, and they're still growing. Right. Well, when you got 6 guys, you lose Drew Finnegan,
right? Exactly.
A 3-year starter, but a junior, big guy, had a lot of success. Did some neat individual things in the weight room this summer. And Cole Tysinger stepped in there. Next to him is a sophomore. He's a big guy. Jacob Barnhart at 6'5", 270. Then on the other side of at center, Tony Rocha, senior captain, and I got his name right. Didn't say his brother's name this year. We talked about that yesterday, Troach. I know, got it right this time. And he got a taste of it last year in a game again when Matt McElrath was a little injured. Mm-hmm. He stepped in and did a job. And then to the right of him, Ryan Grosvenor at guard, who has played for his third year of playing varsity football. So it's nice to have. He becomes the leader of that line now. He has to become the leader of that line because he's been there in the trenches. And then next to him, you've got the truck, Big Red himself, and Ian Andrews. He had not played any varsity snap starting from he played snaps, but he'd never started before this year. They look the part. Yep. They've got the look. And then John Krall also is in there waiting in the wings, is going to get some time at center and may even flip in and out of guard and tackle. But they've got the look. They've got the size. Very few teams at 1A football are going to be a big up front, as the Bears are going to show this year. West Liberty comes to town. You know, it used to be a game that had a lot more to it. It used to be the two towns just didn't really get along. But now you've got all these kids that hang out, and guys are dating girls over there, or vice versa. And, well, last year's quarterback for the Comets is now the quarterback for the Bears. He's been here since the end of basketball season. We don't need to get through all that. So there's just a small storyline. But it's a game, regardless of, as Jared Tiley and I talk, 27-0 in the final against Tipton, who's actually going to be a pretty fine football team in Class 2A in the same district as Lance Peterson and the Mustangs of Mount Vernon and Anamosa, who was a playoff team last year. That's going to be a fun district. To see how that washes out by the end of the year will be fun. But 27-0, and they did not really – I haven't seen any statistics because they haven't updated in quick stats yet, and they will. I'm not worried about them not doing that. Head coach Jason Iske, who – sadly had to get rid of his head golf coaching position if he wants to be the head football coach. He got rid of the head golf position. I know he's going to miss that and we'll miss him there. But now he's taking over a football program who last year did not win a football game. The 3 years before that, though, they were 17-15 combined and were 3 consecutive playoff appearances. So it's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're only 2 years away, 2 years separated from them being a playoff football team. It's there, the heart there, the talent. You've got kids that work hard in that small town. And it's there. And again, there doesn't need to be anything else other than West Branch and West Liberty. There's your storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, and plus it's going to be on throwback night too, kind of fitting.
Purple jerseys are back.
For the teams that are playing, it's pretty fitting, I think.
Yes. When you do throwback, I think of West Branch. And what we got, in fact, we had some video.
There was a game.
There was a game in the 40s that was part of the Memories of Oliphant Street video. Oliphant Street Field video a few years back was a commemorative video of the history of football. Had it from like the 40s and so, and made it into, had not from black and white, had it colorized. Mm-hmm. And it was really neat to see. It took place at the old, at the West Liberty Fairgrounds.
We have that on our YouTube channel.
I'm guessing it might even be up there.
It is on our YouTube
channel.
I'll
be darned. And if you look close, I bet you see a Rummels brother.
There's
too,
a,
in there.
Just an excerpt of it, 5 minutes.
But if you want to check that out, look just, at the West Branch football what?
Just you can go to, on the West Branch football website, on the top right, there's a little YouTube icon you can click. That'll take us, that'll take you right to our channel. And you can look through our videos and find the, it says a 1942 game against West Liberty. So it's okay. it's pretty neat.
Well, here's some names that you're going to want to know of skill position players for the comments that you're going to see. Josh Walshire is the fourth quarterback in the last fourth new quarterback in 4 years for the Comets. He takes over under center. He's a 5'9", 190-pound senior. He'll be handing the ball off mainly to number four in the program will be Joe Baker, Jr., 5'11", 170, and Joe Kelly, a 5'8", 170-pound sophomore. At fullback is the biggest guy, basically the biggest, strongest guy they have on their football team. He's not, doesn't weigh the most. But at 5'11", 210 pounds, Bryce Esmoyle is a very strong, he's a wrestler, he's a good wrestler. In eighth grade, I remember watching this kid play. He is like a human wrecking crew, bowling ball, just guys just going, bouncing off of him like they bounce, like a ball bounces off pins. Hmm. He's a pretty good athlete. So you're going to see him football as a fullback. Last year as a freshman, man, he started on their offensive line. So obviously they trust him. They're going to start him as a freshman, and he's going to be a four-year varsity football starter. Other few other guys that might get carries, Chris McMichael, number 34, senior 5'9", 155. And number 9, Evan Dalton, is a very, very quick kid. Great athlete. 6 foot, 182. He's a senior. And also, on a side note, he and Cooper Koenig are pretty good friends. So, but at any rate, you've got, that's three. That's the count of three if you're shape checking home. If you're doing the Pepsi drinking game. at any rate, drinking game. That's four now. You're welcome. That you're it. So you've got some names of them. You know the West Branch cast of characters that they're going to bring. And hopefully, Matt, we see guys step in now with Finnegan out on defense. We didn't mention Cale Donovan stepped in. And besides Drew Finnegan's 11 tackles, four and a half tackles for loss, Cale Donovan was the second leading tackler on that football team Saturday morning.
At seven, I think?
Nine.
And just Saturday?
Just based, most of those were on Saturday.
He, I just, Tyler Bailey, linebacker's coach, he has been just all over Cale. Not just this year, but last year quite a bit as well. He really likes the kid, and I can definitely see why. Cale's, he seems to be kind of a quiet, behind-the-scenes kind of guy, but once he gets out of there on the field, he can...
He's nasty.
He's nasty. He's gonna be able to, I don't want to say fill in for Drew, but he's gonna be able to kind of, you know, help out,
storm a little.
Yeah, fill that void.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make another reference to the rain, but
yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah. So it was pretty quiet yesterday. That's the good news.
Yes.
But Friday night it'll be under the lights of the historic Little Rose Bowl at Oliphant Street Field again. Throwback night again. We've talked about that. Purple jerseys will be back out. Not sure if the pants will be white or black. My guess.
When was the last time we wore white pants?
We don't talk about
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
That's not. Yeah. But they might come out Friday. You'll just have to wait and see, I guess. So come on out on Friday night, West Branch, West Liberty. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. The Bearcast with Stephen Grace, Mike Quinlan, and Flugy. Jerry Flago will be back. He'll be roaming the sidelines, giving him sideline reports throughout the game. That will start at 6:30. They'll kind of prep the game. Then there'll be an interview with Coach Peterson. Then the Hodge Construction Prep Profile interview will be a part of that as well. This week, not sure who it's going to be. We'll just leave it a surprise because we don't know. So we have to surprise ourselves in actually finding out who we're going to get.
I'm glad you admit that we didn't know.
Yeah, we don't know because I haven't made the call yet, or we haven't attempted. But if I had to guess, the gentleman will probably be a captain. So, if you want to play guess that interview, it's going to probably
four
be
choices.
It's probably going to be with Showtime, Matt Schraver, Hunter Wargo, Tony Rocha, or come on, Matt, name that captain.
Oh, man. Devin Kindon.
Devin Kindon. You're right. So that's one of those four kids is probably going to be your interview over the next 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's just probably how we're going to start it. And we're probably more than likely just going to keep it to the seniors for
Absolutely.
Now. And then if we have to get deep into the playoffs, we're just going to talk about game two for right now. And it's going to be with one of those players we listed.
Week,
speaking of which, let's get into the fun part.
Okay.
All these projections and things that we do. Pick your score, Matt. Who you got? Last week, we both had the Bears winning, so we're both 1-0 with our picks.
And we're
I'm pretty sure
you're closer.
I was closer and was the closest of anyone. Not tooting my own horn. But we only missed it by two. Somebody got to get a perfect pick. Maybe it's you this week, Chenander.
Well,
Your turn.
Let's review our user submitted picks from last week.
Well, I do remember I got to actually meet him. We got to interface on yesterday morning. Mike Westcott stopped in to the press box, and we got to talk and welcome him back into. He's starting to really get involved in this community. And last week he sent us in a score, 30-14, I believe was his pick to click. And I don't remember who he said, or was his pick to click. His score was 30-14. We'll worry about the picks to click later.
He sent an email. I don't have my phone on me to check.
What other scores, Matt? Who you got?
We had Troy Shanker. I had 35-0 West Branch.
He was
off by.
He was basically the same as you.
Yeah,
you're both the same.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Brandon Lukuski had 49-8.
Not
West
too
Branch.
Far off.
Yeah, he was pretty good too. Sideline Tommy copied me and had 35-14.
Well, you also carry a camera. You're both sideline guys,
right,
so I can see it.
Yep. So that's what we had for score predictions.
You can be a part of this. Just send in your picks. Look at the bottom of this page if you're listening to us live. Yep. Not live, you're listening to the podcast on westbranchfootball.com. There's a comment section on the bottom of that page or on Twitter. Use the @WBBears. You can tweet us those, or you can send us an email, contact@WestBranchFootball, or
right on our Facebook
page.
Right
on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I know most of you have got the Facebook.
Yep. So my score this week, I'm going to predict that Bo Cornwell, he's going to have a field goal. By the way, congratulations to him as freshman, his first PAT attempt.
It was good.
He was 4 for 5.
One
of them blocked. So with the field goal, I'm gonna say 45-7.
Okay, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
Nope, sorry, I take that back.
No, you can't change
45-0.
You got baited.
No,
that's
I didn't.
Wrong.
No.
I baited you into that.
Nope, 45-0.
Fine then. I hate doing this. I'm going 48.
46-0.
I'm gonna go 48-0. I want to say 6,
two
but I'm
field
not
goals.
Doing it. No.
Or mix.
I'm sure something will happen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go 48-0. And I'm going to regret that. Nope, sorry. I'm changing it and making it official. 49-0.
Okay.
I trust my special teams.
Yes.
Because the things that win football games cut the penalties, cut the turnovers, and special teams win football games. And by goodness, we're going to cut them all down. We're going to build the special teams up because I love them. So 49-0. Okay, picks to click.
Yep. Last week.
I won last week. We're just going to say that.
Okay.
I picked Drew Finnegan, and by goodness, I think I won.
Well, I'd say you're 1A. I'd be 1B because Showtime had a pretty good performance too.
Yeah, he did.
So,
but Drew Finnegan was rocking and rolling, and I got
he was
text.
Clicking.
I'm going to say it. He sent me a text. I sent him, hang in there, pal, on Friday night. And I got a text. He wrote back and said, thanks. But at the end of it, he said, oh, by the way, I was clicking. So as a reference to this pick to click.
Yep.
Second game, my pick to click. Since I pick first, I'm going to take the fun route because I can. It's the West Liberty game. He's a West Branch quarterback. Yep. I'm going to leave him to you. I'm going to not take him. Believe it or not, I'm going to take the fun route and get it out of the way and take Devin Kindon. Shocker. He did not expect me to say that right there.
He's going to be, Devin is going to be pumped up to play.
He's going to be busy.
He's going to be busy. Pumped up.
Yeah.
I mean, the little bit he got to play Friday and Saturday, he was out of his mind.
The spark plug.
Out of his mind. So yeah. he's going to be ready to play. So I think that's a good pick.
Go out of your mind. Your turn. Pick to click it, Matt. Click to pick.
My click to pick?
Yes. That's ours. We're going to click to pick. Hope your picking's clicking.
My kick to plick.
Yes, perhaps.
Yeah.
No?
No, okay. I don't know.
You said you're going to kick a field goal. I mean.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
True. It's tough.
You've got options. But
I know there's a lot of options, but there's a lot of easy options.
You can say there's only one person you could say once all year and then you get the postseason, but it's just game two. We're sticking with game two. Not worried about that.
Right.
Some of us have to
I know. I understand. I'm going to say Cooper Kubla. Offense and defense.
You took Cooper. I knew it.
Kubla.
Cooper Kubla.
Yeah.
Number 34 in the program. Number one on Matt's pick to click list.
His father is now the new clock guy.
He is. For the scoreboard. He did an outstanding job. Wonderful job. I have firsthand.
And Dan Hayes did a wonderful job on the scoreboard, too.
Yes. Dan.
Rookies.
Dan Purple Hayes on the scoreboard. Did a great job.
Yep.
And we all, you know, I said we only mess up. We only got two mess ups, and we only had two. So we were right on schedule. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right on schedule.
All right, send us in, listeners. Send us in.
You know where to send them. We already said it. Yeah.
Yep.
So if you weren't listening before, that's not my fault.
Rewind.
Rewind it and listen again. You know, every place you can send it.
Yep.
Facebook us, Twitter us. I don't know. You send an Instagram. Instagram your pick and take the ice bucket challenge again. and take the bear bucket challenge.
Yep.
At any.
Oh, moving almost. On. at 4.5.
It is. That's like tackles for loss on that one. So moving forward beyond the pick to click, Matt, we can, I think we can close this one up, pass in the song books.
Tie a bow on it, put it under the
tree. Tie a bow on it, put it under the tree. It's going to be a fun week. It's throwback week.
Yep.
So get out your purple t-shirts from last year or your white t-shirt with purple on it from this year.
I think we're going purple on the website again this year.
We're
going
to go purple on the website, and we may even go purple in the end zone. Ooh. It's possible. I don't know. I don't think we're going to go all out. We're not doing the checkerboard all out this year. We might do purple on the Bears, but I just hope, you know.
Yeah, poor grass.
It's the rain is purple rain, because you never see purple rain unless you're listening to Prince.
That's our song next week, I think.
I think it is. I mean, it was last year. We got to bring it back.
We have to do it.
But this song you're hearing in the background right now, this is a Matt Trinander exclusive pick. I chose the first one. He got this one. So I'm not apologizing. It's a great song. It's one of your favorites, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I put it in here and I chose it.
So you have to.
I have to like it, right?
You've been listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast
on westbranchfootball.com.
He's Matt. I'm Jason.
He's over there. I'm over here.
And we thank you, the listener, for joining us each and every week, because we know you do. And one more message for you. Take care, everyone.